everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is January 7th, 2025. That sounds so weird to say. Even though I'm writing that number a lot, I'm not saying it a lot, and it still sounds so odd when I hear it. And sorry for the technical problems. That's just one of the things that happened. So those of you who are sticking with me or maybe joining late, hopefully people are coming back if you did hang up. But yep, it happens, and we're just going to deal with it, right? And I was kind of looking at my astrological calendar because Mercury, the planet of communication, is actually in a very awkward connection with Mars today. And I thought, so of course you're out there kind of messing with some stuff and pulling some plugs or just making us think a little more deeply maybe about our connections with other people, because that's kind of what Mercury and Mars together is about. And so you know what? Just hang in there. Let's be flexible. That's something we need to do all the time, but maybe especially in 2025. So everybody, thank you for being here today. And if you're joining me over in our private group on Facebook, that is wonderful. I already see some people over there. Thank you, Renee. And just thanks for coming over. I don't want to spend a lot of time going over there, but I will look at all your comments because we've got a full show today. And in fact, more than we can really talk about. But I will try to curtail some of the details so that we can get to the really good stuff. But let's start with a couple of announcements. We do have a new producer today. Welcome aboard, Serena. And I'm sure in the next few weeks, we will get all of our communications correct between our two computers. That's what happens. In fact, I told Serena, I said, well, I reset everything before you called. But you know what? It's not the way it works, guys, right? No matter what you do. So we're just going with the flow. But another announcement is next Sunday is 12 day. And you know what that means? It means that it's a day that we always celebrate every single month in 12 world. And we'll have special prices on calls and chats and time-based sessions. And I almost always have a special time-based session on the 12th of the month. So go look for that. Maybe that's not a day you want to call, but you can always get that time-based session, either mine or somebody else's. And the great thing about those, you can use them whenever you want. So check that out next Sunday. So we are going to take, even though mostly we're going to talk about 2025 today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start looking at that particular energy. But you know what? We've got a long time to look at 2025. And I don't ever want to really skip over what's happening immediately, which is this week. So we're going to take a quick peek. And also, speaking of peek, I always encourage you to check out Mark's Power Peek, which is the weekly newsletter. It comes out every Saturday night. It doesn't cost you anything. Get on that mailing list so that you can get that, because I write an article that basically tells you what's happening every single day of the week, astrologically speaking, but also it's filled with lots of other articles that you might be interested in. Things, you know, people of like mind. This is your 12 family. This is your, you know, family of people that are coming from a metaphysical or spiritual perspective. And, you know, personally, that's what I want to tune into. I want to make sure that I'm really tuning into that kind of information. And in a year when I think we really need to cut out a lot of distractions, the one thing I'm not going to cut out is tuning into something that feeds my soul. So I would encourage you to check out Mark's Power Peak every week. And if you haven't done that before, go over there, take a look at it, and sign up. If you don't like it, you unsubscribe, just like everything else in life, right? So the quick peek into what's going on this week. Two planets are changing signs. And you know what that means. There's a shift in energy. Now, the first of those is Mars, which is in a retrograde pattern. Now, it has been in a retrograde pattern. It started in Leo on December 6th. But now what's happening is it's going to move, or actually, I'm not going to say going to, it moved into Cancer yesterday, on Monday the 6th, because it's moving backwards. And remember, that's from our perspective on Earth. It's moving backwards. So now we're going from Mars in Leo, which was very much about our self-expression, into some of those family things. You know, remember, Cancer is a very domestic sign that has to do with caretaking and being a caretaker or taking care of ourselves. Self-care is a really big issue there. So what we're going to see is that Mars is moving backwards in Cancer, and it's going to do that until February 23rd. That's when it stops moving retrograde. It will be, by the way, those of you who know your chart or you want to know exactly where it's at, that's when it's going to be at 17 Cancer. On that day, February 23rd, it kind of stops in its tracks, and then it starts moving forward. And then by the time we get to April 18th, it's going to re-enter Leo. And taking the long view, it'll actually take until May 2nd until it leaves or it gets back to 6 Leo, which is where it was when it started this whole process. So that's kind of the whole cycle there. But when you're thinking about what's going on with Mars re-entering Cancer, what it's going to do is refocus our attention on things like home and family and what I call tribal relationships. And I call them that because I think it's not just about the family you're born into. It's about the family you create. So those associations that we have, they're all ruled by Cancer. So notice that what could be happening over the next few weeks or so, emerging issues are likely to come up. That they're all rooted, maybe not all, but they're rooted in the past because Cancer tends to be retentive, very sentimental, connected to extended family in the past. They tend to, and they're very faithful, they're loyal, and they're traditional. So some of the things that start happening is we're looking at our priorities, and here again, self-care, caretaking of others. We might be looking at issues around fertility, family planning, and certainly relationships between parents and children and between members of the extended family. And remember, doesn't matter how old you are, it could still be a relationship with a family member, with your mother and father, whether or not they're around, or your grandparents. So it goes both directions. It's about those family relationships and our connection, in a sense, to our ancestors or maybe to even our descendants. So think about it. You might be re-looking at or renegotiating your strategies for financial and emotional security. So not only the relationships with those people, but maybe you're looking at your investments. Maybe you're looking at your will. Maybe you're looking at, you know, all these financial conditions that are in your life. We're rethinking the balance between work and home. And we are aspiring to more meaningful use of our time. There again, we're taking a deeper look with a retrograding planet. You might be considering a move. Maybe you want to sell your house, buy your house, do something different. Maybe you're looking at updates and renovations. So all those Cancer energies, and you know there's a whole lot more, that's what's happening when Mars is going deep. When Mars is going backwards or Mars is retrograding in the sign of Cancer. So enough of that. We're going to move quickly, and I know I'm going really quick today, but you know you will always have a copy of this recording. It'll be in the archives in the on-demand section of 1-2 Radio if you want to listen to it again. And like I said, I write a lot of this stuff in the Power Peak, Mark's Power Peak, so you know you can always go check it out there too. All right, so Mercury. That's the other planet that is going to change signs this week. And it's going to do it It's going to do it tomorrow afternoon, which is Wednesday the 8th. But there is something going on this afternoon with Mercury that I wanted to point out, and I kind of already did because it's in conjunct Mars. So already some things are just kind of, I just say wonky. You know, we're just really thinking about, you know, when you go back into the past or even with this retrograde of Mars in Cancer, you might go, didn't I deal with this? Didn't I think about this already? Do we really have to revisit this picture? But you know what I would remind you of? And I think this is a good analogy and kind of a symbol to hold on to. Life often moves in spirals. So, yes, we come back around to something that we've seen before, that we've experienced before. And either it comes back around in reality because of a relationship or something going on, or it just comes back through memories. And every time we see it, we have the opportunity to kind of transform that energy. But also, we have the opportunity to go, yeah, I remember this. And now I have more information I have more experiences, and boy, does this look different the next time I go around. So that's it. It's just a spiral. So if something is coming around for you that you like or you don't like, I mean, especially if you don't like it, just go, you know what? You do have more experience this time around. You truly do. And so just take another look at it and then let it go or do with it whatever you want. But then Mercury will enter Capricorn tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon. And this, it'll stay there, by the way, through January 27th. Because remember, Mercury, it moves pretty quickly. But in terms of quick, some of the qualities of Capricorn with Mercury there, it's not quick, it's patient, it's determined. You know, it's organized. It's got all those Saturn qualities, structure, and being dependable and cautious and maybe reserved and certainly sometimes serious. This is an ambitious sign that has a reputation for being systematic, hardworking, patient, and pragmatic. So it's going to go through quickly in terms of how long it takes it to get through Capricorn. But while it's there, what I want you to know is this isn't a flashy or attention-seeking sign. And in fact, you know, not to hurt their feelings, but Mercury in Capricorn isn't exactly known for sparkling conversation, especially in large groups. So we're more likely to be having private conversations or intimate conversations or just small group conversations. And we tend to be interested in topics that maybe are a little more serious or they're business oriented or finance related. You know, maybe they have to do with our work or our finances or what we're planning for the future. But one thing for sure, Capricorn likes to involve itself in facts and figures. And here's something important. Hang on this sentence. Capricorn prefers to be respected rather than popular. And the minute I say popular, I think of that movie Wicked or that play, if you've seen the stage play, because Capricorn isn't interested in being popular. It's interested in being respected. So I want you to think about that too in terms of where you get your information. Because, you know, there's always a plethora of all these little memes and all these little cartoons and the TikTok and everything else. And I know I'm not trying to knock it. I know I show my age. You know, a lot of people, they just live on TikTok or they live on social media. But Mercury in Capricorn, that's not its thing, really. And Mercury in Capricorn is going, where are you getting your information? I want references. I want to know your sources. I want proof before you send me something and say this is true. Where's your proof? So if you feel like people are kind of knocking you or being a little more harsh in terms of, hey, where'd you get that information or what's going on with that? That's Mercury in Capricorn. So, you know, that's just what's going on during this time. A couple of other things I would mention is that I think we tend to really hang on to the information that we learn while Mercury is in Capricorn. So if there's something you want to learn, if there's something you want to, you know, kind of really get involved with, you know, and that's what you might notice, that you have a more single-minded focus, you want to learn something, then this is a good time to get started with it. You know, this is a good time to do hard mental work, to study and improve your knowledge in an area. And quite honestly, this kind of came as this, I almost want to say stray kind of psychic thought. I thought, you know what? I also think that we're going to be motivated, and maybe this has little to do with Mars too, but motivated by feeling insecure. And what I mean by that is it's like we look around and people know things that we don't know, or they're talking about things that we don't understand. So I think some of our motivation during this month is going to be, well, I want to know that too. I want to be an expert in that. I want to know a little bit more about what that is. I don't want to be the person standing there and not involved in the conversation. So even if that's your motivation, that's okay. You know, if there's something you want to learn, now is the time. So don't be envious. Don't waste your time doing that. Just get at it and learn something. This is a good time to do that. Now, I'm going to touch really quickly upon one other energy going on this week, because it's the kind of thing, don't miss it, because it could be special. And that is Mars is going to be in a trine, or what we call a really good harmonizing relationship with Neptune on Sunday afternoon. Now, I particularly like this because Mars is the energy of relationships, of sexuality. You know, it governs those things. It's what we call a personal planet. So, yes, it's a planet of energy and inspiration and motivation. But, you know, you need a little Mars energy in there in relationships. And Neptune, of course, is that planet of dreams, that planet that allows us to transcend, you know, the physical universe. So there's just a little magic involved when Mars is trine Neptune. But it can come out in many, many ways. I mean, it could be this really push of creativity and imagination, you know, really getting on with something or finding an interest in something that you didn't know you had. We feel idealistic and inspired, but it's also a time when we might be having some really interesting relationship energy as well. And the way it made me feel when I thought about it, looked at it, is we may be doing very ordinary things. Like maybe you're just eating together, cooking together, maybe you're watching a movie, you're doing, you know, even paying the bills or whatever you're doing, but there's something going on underneath the surface. And what that is it's about bonding. So just watch. There just might be a thread of interesting energy, especially relationship-wise, on next Sunday, on the 12th. You know, the 12th when we have all those sales, I want to listen. All right. So now let's charge into 2025. And I know that we're already almost halfway through our show. So here again, I don't want to rush this too much. And I know, too, that we will have lots of opportunities to talk about what's going on with 2025. But I will kind of truncate this a little bit. I'm going to shorten it. But I'm going to throw out some things that I think would be really helpful as what I call touchstones. Now, when I say that, I literally mean, you know, and I should look up that word to even make sure I'm using it correctly. But touchstone in that, you know, sometimes when you just feel chaotic, you just feel like everything's going on around you and you're losing your way and you just need to kind of ground yourself. You need to come back to something, you know, settle down. Just how do you settle the energy? How do you come back? Well, a touchstone for me is often an energy. It could be a tarot card, you know, the ideas, you know, around a tarot card. What does it stand for? What is its meaning? Or, you know, it could be things like crystals or essential oils or any of those kinds of things. But remember, and I'm going to talk about this too, the magic is in you, not in any of those things. But those symbols can all be touchstones for us to just come back and to just breathe. So in a year where I think there's going to be a lot of change going on in 2025 and 2026. So like the word I'm hanging on to for this period of time is transition. And thinking about symbols like bridges and gateways, because that's what it feels like to me. It's not exactly about a destination in 2025. It's about a process, this bridge that we're crossing, this gateway. We're going from one thing to the next. Now, as an astrologer, I can tell you that definitely is happening. We have a lot of interesting energy in this doorway, in this process, because as we've been talking about, if you listen to Mark and you listen to the other astrologers, you know, you read stuff on the internet, three of the outer planets, let me take a drink of water. Three of the outer planets, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, are going to change signs this year. Now, why that's important is because these planets have relatively long orbits around the sun, meaning they stay in a sign for a long time. Saturn, that planet of authority, discipline, and self-determination, it stays in a sign for 2.5 years. And in 2025, it's going to change. Then Uranus is a planet that takes 84 years to cycle the sun. So it'll stay in a sign, you know, for 8 years. So once again, you know, now it's going to change in 2025. Neptune is a planet that typically stays in a sign for about 14 years because it takes 165 years to go through the entire zodiac. So what we've got going on, and I'm not a mathematician, but you know, think about these overlapping cycles that we have. A planet that doesn't change signs except for every 14 years, another one that changes every 8 years, another one that changes every 2.5 years, not to mention Pluto changed and moved into Aquarius in what? You know, it finally did it like the 19th of December. So we've got this whole process. But here's the other thing that you know if you've been following astrology. All three of those planets will also retrograde. They retrograde every single year, sometimes for months at a time. So in 2025, they all change signs, but then they'll retrograde right back into the signs that they came from. They're going to return, just like we were talking about Mars. They're going to return to the signs that they were in, and it won't be until 2026 before all three of them are kind of securely, firmly rooted in the new signs that they're going into. So do you see why I'm saying this is a bridge? This is a process. This is a gateway. We're moving, but you know, we might, I don't think tunnel is a particularly good word, although maybe sometimes we are going to feel like we're in a tunnel and we may be going, hey, exactly where is this leading? Have you ever been in that situation? I was watching a movie the other night and I really didn't know where this movie was going. And I say that because so many movie scripts are so predictable. You know, they go along according to a particular pattern. This one was not following the pattern at all. And I found myself in the middle of the movie going, where the heck is this story going? And I will admit, it was, I'm not going to say shocking, but it was not your typical movie and it was not the typical script. It truly was a surprise where it was going, but it ended up being, you know, I thought actually not a metaphysical movie, but there's a lot of metaphysical, I think, truth that, you know, was derived from watching that movie. But I think that's what we're going to feel in 2025. We're walking across this bridge. We think we know where we're going. We think we know exactly what's happening. And before we know it, it seems to be shifting. We're not sure. The scenery is changing. So once again, if you kind of hang on to this, some of those images, then you go, okay, this isn't such a surprise. I can keep walking through this movie. I can keep watching this. I can keep moving. I don't have to see it as, you know, been there and now done. And I don't know that any of us ever think about that. I think the older we get, the less likely we do see something as, you know, one and done. But if you end up feeling that way, just remember that's part of your touchstone, or it could be, or you could find something else. What's happening this year is a transition. And it's going to take it a while to really unfold. And as an astrologer, I'd also just add two other things that convince me that this is true is that we moved into this year with a Mars retrograde. So once again, Mars only goes retrograde every what? Every 22 months or something. So it doesn't go retrograde every year. So to move into a new year under a Mars retrograde, I'm not going to say it's rare, but it's not typical. And Venus is the other planet that does not retrograde every single year like the others. And by the way, I'm not counting the sun and the moon. They never go retrograde because they're, again, from our perspective on Earth, those planets never appear to go backwards. And they're not really planets, they're luminaries. But the planets, they all go retrograde annually, except Venus and Mars. So guess what? Venus is going retrograde March 1st through April 12th. So once again, I'm looking at this going, these three outer planets are changing signs. Venus and Mars are both treating us to their retrograde periods, which I think retrogrades really can be a treat because they give us the opportunity to go much deeper with an energy. And so 2025 is just a very, very interesting year for people that believe that life moves one step in front of the other. You know, this is what convinces you. It's a dance. It's a cosmic dance. These planets don't, astrologically speaking, just take one step at a time and just keep moving forward. That's not what they do. And so if they represent our consciousness and we follow that, then we also know that our own consciousness can dance and that going retrograde is not necessarily the wrong direction, which I think is what has happened for a very, very long time, is we label retrogrades as going the wrong direction. And that's, you know, I'm just going to say it. It's not true. Look at your own charts. Likely, you have two or three planets that were moving retrograde at the time that you were born. Some of you have even more, four, five, maybe even six. So do you think that's the wrong direction? Probably not. But we do just have a very interesting year that just starts out with energy that is much more like a dance than like, okay, we're going to plan this all out. And I will admit, Mercury in Capricorn, you know, he's got his little book out. He does want to just say, here are the steps, here's the strategy, this is how we're going to move through it. But fortunately, he is, you know, very patient and persistent. So, you know, even he will deal with it. All right. Now, one of the things I want to introduce you to, although I hesitate to use that word because many of you who have been with me for a while, you've listened to the show and or you read the Power Peak or maybe you've taken classes with me. Well, one of the things I've done for several decades now, I learned from James Wanless, who is the developer, the Voyager Tarot. And he's also, by the way, authored many books, and he's done other oracle decks as well. And if you've never looked at the Voyager Tarot, I really highly recommend it. It's a very beautiful deck with, it's very eclectic, pictures from all over the world, all these images. It's one of those decks that definitely opens up the subconscious, opens up all kinds of, you know, it's helpful to know the meaning of the cards for sure, but it also just opens up all kinds of meanings because it just triggers this, you know, the subconscious, it triggers intuition. But in any case, one of the things I learned from James is that at the beginning of the year, or in general, you can take the numbers of the year, the numbers of your birth date, et cetera. If you're into numerology or you know a numerologist, maybe they've done this for you before. But you take like the simple thing about 2025. You just add those single digits together, 2 + 0 + 2 + 5. And it comes out to 9. So there again, you know, you might be reading on the internet or you might be taking classes or talking to numerology people. This is a number 9 year. Now, that's for everybody all over the world. 2025 is a 9 year. But what James taught me to do is then you take that number and you correspond it to the Tarot major arcana. And so the 9 in the Tarot is the Hermit. And so once again, every, you know, at the beginning of every new year, I figure out what is the number for the year, and what are the cards, and I say cards plural, that it resonates to. Because let's say that in this case, we're always going to come down to a single digit. But many of you know that, like, even if you take your own birthday, sometimes you'll come up with 23 or you'll come up with 32. Well, you can technically reduce that maybe multiple times. Like, maybe your birthday ends up being a 19. And then you can reduce that to a 10, 1 and 9. And then you can reduce that further to a number 1. Well, if you're using this system and you're applying it to your birthday, let's take the situation of the 19, then you could literally resonate to the energy, to the archetype of the 19, which is the sun, to the 10, which is the Wheel of Fortune, and to the number 1, the Magician. And for instance, that's one thing I've done it for years, looking at what, you know, I think a numerologist would say it's your life path or that kind of thing. As you add all, and in this case, you add your birth month, like if you're born in February, that's 2. You add the, you know, the day, 28, you'd add that, and then you'd add it to the year. So you can also take your month, your day, and add it to 2025. But here's a little hint if you don't already know this. Anytime you add 9 to a number, you retain the original number. So if you were a 6, you know, if your birthday and month adds up to a 6, you add 9 to it, it's going to come back to a 6. But anyway, we're not going to go there because I, you know, we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So I hope I haven't totally confused you. If I have, please put a message into Facebook, or you can, you know, you can always contact me through the Click for Advisor system as well. Send me a message. But the point is, this is a number 9 year. It resonates to the hermit. You can find an individual year for yourself, just as we described, but for everybody, it's going to be the hermit. So for me, what I think about is this is another touchstone. So I think about, okay, there's so much going on in my world. What can I just always come back to that's going to help me tune into the energy, settle the energy, kind of get straight with something? So first and foremost, the hermit is purposeful and intentional withdrawal from the outer world and its influences. Now, I would also encourage you, I'm going to throw out some stuff today that, you know, I've certainly learned from James Wanless and from studying the tarot for, I don't know, 3 decades now or something like that. But do it for yourself, because that's one thing the hermit is about. Do it for yourself. Purposefully, intentionally withdraw from the voices, from the world and its influences, to hear your own voice. So it's not that you don't use any of these other things. It's not, you know, in fact, I wrote in the Power Peak, I just really want to emphasize the magic is not in the crystal. The magic is not in the sound. The magic is not, I mean, even though, yes, it feels pretty magical. I'm not denying that. But ultimately, you give the meaning to everything in your life. So if it's meaningful to you to get up at 6:30 or 4:30 in the morning and watch the sunrise or whatever it is, or it's meaningful to you to have a certain crystal or a certain essential oil or a certain deck of cards or to pull a card every morning, whatever your routine is, recognize you're the person creating the ritual. You're the person giving the meaning to whatever it is. And so this is a year where you may want to work with a teacher or a mentor or a guide. Maybe you're going to want to be those things to somebody else. But ultimately, the touchstone for me is coming back to the hermit. Purposeful and intentional withdrawal from those outer voices and influences. And why? So we can access inner levels of consciousness. We can gain personal experiences of the divine and literally see and experience life in a new way. Now, one of the things that always comes up for me when I think about the hermit is the concept many of you may be familiar with in communities called dark skies. And what that has to do with is intentional, and sometimes it's by law, you know, it limits outdoor lighting at night so that you can really appreciate the night sky. And like, for instance, you'll see this in communities sometimes that are rural or mountainous or in certain areas where, and I've told you this before, I am now living in Las Vegas, and my mother multiple times has said, and by the way, she has some memory issues, but she'll say, how come we can't see the stars? Well, I can tell you why we can't see the stars. We're not very close to the strip, but the ambient light of the Las Vegas Strip is enough to literally strip the light out of the sky. There's no way we can see it. We see very few stars, planets every once in a while. But when you go to the desert, when you go to the mountains, when you go sometimes to a beach, you go to an isolated area where there are dark skies, where there is not a lot of ambient light, you know, there's not a lot of man-made lights, what happens? The cosmos just pops. I mean, you know, the sky is just full of light and you see so much more. And so that's what it always seems to me is that's what the hermit is about, is you intentionally move away from, and I don't want to say light, but you're moving away from, in a sense, other people's light, or you're moving away from distractions that appear to you to be light so that you can see your inner light. This is a spiritual pilgrimage and a physical journey of our choosing. There again, what a lot of people do. Have you ever, you know, just completely quit eating sugar? You know what happens when you quit eating sugar? Everything tastes incredible. I mean, literally, salt and sugar and a few other things. And I'm not knocking them. I love both of them. But they really dull our sense. They dull our ability to taste other things. And I'm amazed. You quit eating sugar and all of a sudden everything tastes sweet. You know, rice and wheat and so many things that you just don't think too much about having sugar. They're so sweet when you don't have the pungency of sugar. And there you go. I'm not telling you to quit eating sugar. I'm just trying to draw these natural situations that you may have experienced where you notice when you don't have those distractions, something else pops. And that's what happens with the hermit. And you do it for yourself. Now, you know, you can't experience it really through somebody else. You experience it on your own. All right. So it doesn't mean you can't have a guide or teacher, or have the book that you really love or follow whatever, you know, you want to follow. I'm not telling you not to do it, but I'm just telling you this is about intentionally pulling yourself away, limiting the distractions if you want to see something else. And the hermit is strongly associated with the sign Virgo. And so some of the words of Virgo can come up for you: self-possession and self-determination. Self-discovery. You know, Virgo is the goddess who is totally self-determined. Ultimately, that's who she is. Or he is, I guess we could say. I always think of her as feminine, but that's the way it is. So, what, you know, I'd also encourage you, if you're interested in this, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what other people are saying, but go find out for yourself. And by the way, when you collect all this information, some of it is not going to ring true, right? You know, some people may say, oh, well, this is who the hermit is. Or there may be certain images that you're really drawn to. You know, like for instance, the person that came to my mind is Henry David Thoreau. You remember he was quite the political social activist in his time. And but one of the things he did as an experiment is he went and lived off the grid, so to speak. He lived in the woods on Walden Pond for 2.5 years, I think two years, two months, two days, something like that. And to him, it was a social experiment about what would happen, what would he think, how would he live, how would he feel if he was totally off the grid and living on the land. And so that was his own personal, you know, experiment. So people like, and by the way, he's a number 9. If you figure out his birthday and year, he is a number 9. So people, you know, and maybe you're not attracted to those energies at all. And you don't need to be. But once again, if you find yourself in 2025, just saying, what is my touchstone? You know, I feel like there's all this stuff is buzzing around. It's so chaotic. And think about it. What do we do sometimes? We turn off the TV. We turn off the music. We turn off the sound. We just need to limit the stimulation. That's the hermit. And so I would encourage you to find a way to do that in your life this year. What does that mean? And as I wrote in the Power Pink, I think we find and create our sacred spaces. But I want to be clear that once again, I don't think there's any magic mountain or cave or island or book or candle or crystal or trick. It's what we make it. So what does that for us? So don't, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I don't have time to go on a retreat, or I don't have time to do this. And it's like, you know what? You don't have to go to a special place. You do it yourself. What will do that for you? What are the tools and the practices that could help you disconnect or help you just kind of get back to hearing your own voice? And it is very individual. And like I said, if you want to use those, you know, here's my special tablecloth. I put it on my, you know, my desk, and I put all my candles and whatever. Do that. But you know what? I would say, please start seeing through all the accoutrements. You know, they are magical when you make them magical. That's it. So this is a time to literally set aside time, transfer our attention away from some of the external stuff so that we can gain some inner awareness. And, you know, for many of us, it's not like we're going to be able to take 6 hours a day and do that. I mean, maybe, but probably not. But could we train ourselves even a few seconds, a few minutes at a time? You know, could you find that quiet center within yourself? It just takes practice. That's what it's about, practice. So here, I'm going to just throw out some things pretty quickly. And here again, these come from James Wanless writing about the hermit. And, you know, some of them you grab onto, some of them you don't. But he says, shutting out distractions to complete a spiritual pilgrimage. It's the law of wholeness. Here again, if you're into tarot or you want to study tarot, look at all the nines. All the nines, the nine of pentacles, the nine of swords, you know, the nine of cups, nine of wands. All of those cards, in a sense, belong to the hermit. They're energies of the hermit. Integrity, wholeness, to become complete, to unite yourself, the highest state of attainment in the material world and the spiritual together. Now, I love this. James says, use your work in the world as a spiritual path to achieve your higher destiny. And see, there again, you don't have to be doing some typically spiritual work to make that happen. It's whatever your work is. How do you do it? Do you do it? What is the framework within, you know, that you work it? So use your work as a spiritual path. Live in harmony with nature's laws. And James says, take your time. Do your work right. Do your planning. Nurture it. Harvest it. He says, the hermit achieves the pinnacle of perfection by following his or her own path with warrior-like steadfastness, courage, and integrity. He uses words like focus and discipline, looking for the light of the inner self. Now, do you meditate? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe it's just a solitary walk. Whatever it is for you, find out what that is or seek that out. Open your hand, open your mind, open your heart to whatever it is that can bring that to you, to help you focus and concentrate. And the good thing about the hermit is when we pull away, some of the results are relaxation, resting, sleeping, regenerating, healing our bodies, being able to focus better. Once again, you take away that sugar and all of a sudden, things seem different. So take away some of those distractions. James talks about using the laboratory of the self to gain knowledge. So seek your inner riches. Find your own integrity and be patient about it, you know, and go to wherever this takes you. Maybe it's about analyzing your dreams, you know? Maybe it is just about being in nature. Now, one thing he does say, and I find this interesting, this always stood out to me. He says, be insured, as in I-N-S-U-R-E-D. Now, I'm interpreting that multiple ways, but one of them is certainly take care of yourself. You know, take care of those necessary things. You know, you don't just go, okay, life is just going to provide for me and I'm going to be okay. That's not necessarily what it's about. You're not necessarily spiritual because you ignore your body or ignore your needs or your safety or your need for security. So even though I think he meant that in multiple ways, I mean, that's it, you know, be smart, you know, give yourself the opportunity to go inside so that you're not worrying about things that you can actually do something about. All right. Okay. And there's a whole lot more. One other thing I'm going to say before we close, though, is he says, be a scribe. You know what a scribe is? Person who writes things down. So write down your insights. You know, just your journal. Do it in whatever way makes sense to you. Maybe you just speak into a recorder. Or maybe, you know, in fact, I know Kat was saying, she said, just out of the blue, all of a sudden I'm just writing. Well, maybe that's the influence of the hermit coming into her life, because she is so naturally, oh my gosh, she is so psychic and so in tune with the energy of the time. So I thought that was funny when she told me, she goes, I don't even know where this is coming from. I'm just writing. Well, I think that at least in part is the hermit. So, you know, we will talk about the hermit a little bit more. Look at the hermit, study the hermit if it appeals to you. But more than that, maybe you find another symbol. I mean, some of the symbols for the hermit are stars, lanterns, various handheld lights, lighthouses. And I say it like that because, you know, lighthouses are interesting. They don't do anything except shed light. That's all they do. They don't force the ships to come to shore or to move in a certain direction. It's a captain that's doing that. The lighthouses don't, but the lighthouses just stand there, and they are the light. And maybe sometimes in our lives, that's what we can do for other people. You know, we're not forcing them. We're not pushing them. We're not even teaching them. Maybe we're just being a light so that they can see their own lives. And when we can see our own light, then we can see our own paths better, right? Okay, so I'm going to leave you with one quote, and then we are going to wrap this up so that Serena can move on to Kelly Whetstone. But here's the quote. This is from Martin Luther King Jr., and it says, one of the great liabilities of history is that all too many people fail to remain awake through great periods of social change. Every society has its protectors of the status quo and its fraternities of the indifferent who were notorious for sleeping through revolutions. Today, our very survival depends on our ability to stay awake, to adjust to new ideas, to remain vigilant, and to face the challenge of change. And that, to me, is probably going to become a touchstone for this particular year, just going back to that quote. All right, guys, well, we're going to wrap it up. Sorry we were late today, but thanks for joining me. Thanks to everybody who is listening to this live or may listen to it in the archives of 1-2 Radio. Thanks for joining me in the chat room, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks and best wishes to our producer, Serena. Thanks for being here. We'll work out all the kinks. And please stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. You can find me in my weekly column in Mark's Power Peak, sessions on 1-2 Listen. And I'm signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are embracing the spirit of the hermit in 2025.